Good evening. As we were coming in tonight, I said to Thomas that if he had continued on a few more verses, we wouldn't have to come tonight. We're going to look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I try and keep track of the messages that I speak. And I think I can go back to 2007. And I've spoken on Psalm 27, I think, a couple times. Psalm 19 or 16 a couple times. And I was surprised I hadn't spoken on Psalm 103. I know that I've gone over it, and it's been a blessing to me. So I thought that this would be an appropriate time to, as the Lord leads, to do this psalm. Should also say that I'm a reluctant speaker, as perhaps Dennis and Ryan can testify. You know that they set up the speakers and they contact them, and there are occasions when there is a gap, and I know, I think it was back in June when we were meeting, and they said, you know, well, we've got into September, October, etc., but we don't have this date in August. People are away, and it's difficult. I didn't say anything. We met again in July. Same thing. And so I thought, well, this time maybe I better say yes, I would do it. One of the things I find is that once you get into God's Word and you're looking at different passages, how the Lord is able to bless your own soul, and this is what I've found time and time again. Perhaps a reference to a scripture that you may not be familiar with, it blesses you. Other times it's a one that you have read before, but perhaps there's a new meaning, or it means more to you now as you grow the Lord's grace. So again, Psalm 103, 22 verses. I'll read it through and then we'll start to go through and see what the Lord has for us. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto the Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he remembereth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful that once again we can open your word. Father, we thank you for bringing us out this evening. We rejoice in the fact of your continuing love for us. Father, it was demonstrated, as we read in Romans, to us in a mighty and powerful way when you gave your only begotten and your well-beloved Son to go to Calvary's cross. Our sins were laid on him. He shed his precious blood, and that blood has cleansed us from all sin. We know that he is seated at your right hand. He is going to return to take us home to be with himself. But Father, you have a purpose and plan for each and every one of us. Help us to continue to be in the center of your will. Lead, guide, and direct us day by day. Father, as has been mentioned also, there are those that need your hand upon them. Father, whether through illness or other circumstances that might be upon us, Lord, we know that we can trust you and look to you, and that you will guide and direct. And so we praise and thank you for your blessing. Again, bless your word, we pray, giving you thanks in your Son's most worthy and precious name. Amen. When we look at Psalm 1, it says, "Bless or praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name." When we think of all that is within me, we're talking about the heart, the will, the affections, the emotions. Our whole being should be praising and blessing the Lord. Bless his holy name. In Numbers 6, 23 to 26, it says, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." And a benediction that we have heard before many times, I'm sure. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." We are to bless and praise the Lord. But notice that the Lord blesses, he keeps us, he makes his face shine upon us, he's gracious unto us, he lifts up his countenance upon us, and he gives us peace. What more could we want when we serve this one who went to great lengths to obtain and provide salvation for us? Verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." When we think of praising and blessing the Lord, there are times when we need to look back and ponder how far the Lord has brought us, where he has brought us, what he has brought us from, and I think there are times when we do forget all that he has done for us. But here it says, "Forget not all his benefits." And notice that little word all his benefits, but notice verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And I know that there even commentators have struggled with the verse about healing all thy diseases. The thing that I can say is that having lost a daughter and two sisters to cancer, the thing that stands out to me about these three is that through it, their testimony and their lives were such that people, I know I was reading the tribute that the editor of the paper that Donna worked at, I was reading it again today, and just the thoughts that he had about what she was going through, and yet in her work, she was joyful. She was there, she did her job well, and he noticed that. There is coming a time when we all get to heaven that we don't need to worry about any disease at all. But I think there are times when the Lord is able to. I think the thing that does happen is that he is there to bless and to sustain and to keep us, so that no matter what we are going through, he is there for us. The first part of that verse says, who forgives all thine iniquities? You remember the story in Matthew 9:1-6, where Jesus entered a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And in an Exodus 15:26, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. This was the case where the children of Israel were in a, you might say a dark place, but a foreboding place. And they were asking, you know, why are we here? And yet we find that the Lord God says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. He was trying to get the Egyptians, especially the leader, to say, you know, I will let the people go, the children of Israel go. And he says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He does forgive. He does heal. Verse 4 says, Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? When we talk about who redeemeth our life from destruction, he has provided redemption through his Son. And perhaps we might not have experienced it, but we have heard certainly of those who have had a very destructive life. And God has, some would say miraculously, but God has brought them to the point where they recognize that, you know, if they kept on the way they were, they weren't going to survive. And someone or somehow they heard the word of God. And I've mentioned before, sometimes it could be a tract, someone coming and coming alongside and saying, you know, is there something I can do? Just someone coming to show them the way. And we know that ultimately God, through his Son, is able to redeem thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? We read in the scripture about various crowns that we will receive in service for him. But there's also a passage that says that when we are in heaven, we can give those crowns to him in praise and thanksgiving. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness, tender mercies? The tender mercies that God demonstrates and shows us day by day is something that we can treasure. Then it says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, or someone has said, rather filling with good thy soul, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And I'm sure we are familiar with the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 40. It's quoted often. But in verse 28 it says, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We have a gracious and loving God who satisfies us with many good things. And our strength can be, and our youth can be renewed, like the example of the eagle. He renews our strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Then verse 6 says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Even the times of testing and trial that we go through, we can find that God is able to be there for us. He, because of his righteousness through his Son, we can certainly have sins forgiven. We can live for him. We can serve him. And he does it even though we may be down. Still we find that the Lord is gracious and loving. And then in verse 7, it says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. When I was looking at these passages in Deuteronomy, I thought of using it at the start of this chapter. But here when it says he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Listen to what it says of them. Deuteronomy 6:1-9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all the statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that just in that verse, Jehovah, Lord, emphasizes the oneness. Elohim, God emphasizes the three persons. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house of thy house and on thy gates. You know, when the people would enter the promised land, God wanted them to be in a right moral condition. In order to enjoy the land as he intended, they must be an obedient people. Therefore, Moses gave them practical instruction to fit them for life in Canaan. And just some of the things that God was requiring of them. He gave them commandments. He gave them statutes. He gave them judgments. And he taught which your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. They were going to a land that God had promised them. We know the story that it took them forever to do it because of disobedience. And time again, God was merciful and gracious. Time and time again, God you know, rescued them and sustained them and kept them. And all they had to do was fear the Lord, to trust him, to keep all his statutes and commandments. And notice that it says, which I command thee, thou, thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Mentioned this morning that not only our children, but grandchildren, and others that we are able to come in contact with, we have a responsibility to make sure that they are taught the things of the Lord. And it says all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And he is our Lord. He is our God. And we can certainly trust him. And verse 5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so even as Moses was instructing the children of Israel, so we are also able to look into the Word of God and to grow and to follow his precepts, to be led by him, to be directed and guided day by day by him. I mentioned this morning about having a personal quiet time with the Lord and how important that is for our daily walk, for serving him. For we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. But when we commit our day to the Lord at the start of the day, we know that it's all part of God's plan. Maybe something that surprises us or, you know, troubles us, something that happens, but we can trust the Lord because we have committed ourselves to him and he's able to guide and direct. Verse 8 again, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. There is no end of the treasures of his grace, no end to the treasures of his mercy or pardon and compassion. As we go on our Christian journey, we do find that he is merciful, he is gracious, and slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Times when we do, you know, I was going to say fail, but disappoint the Lord. I've been reading a book, and it's been talking about living and serving the Lord. There are times when, and even as we, those of us who were at the Upward Bound Wednesday night, Jabe was saying, you know, we can have priorities, and we can also say, Lord, what is your will for me? And oftentimes the priorities that we think are important in our lives is not part of God's plan, not part of his will. And so we need to be willing to set aside the priorities that we have and say, Lord, you direct me, you guide me, and I will trust you. Verse 9 says, he will not always chide, and neither will he keep his anger forever. He talks about anger, and verse 8 says, slow to anger. Here he says, neither will he keep his anger forever. Psalm 78, verses 38 to 39, it's a verse that I think I hadn't really dwelt on before, but it says this, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not, yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. And Deuteronomy 8:5 says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Then a verse that perhaps we are more familiar with in Hebrews chapter 12, 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasten us not. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And certainly as we read in the Old Testament about the children of Israel in particular, we find that he is certainly full of compassion. He continually forgives. And he could have said, you know, yes, these are my chosen people, but enough. He didn't do that. Thankfully, he says that to us too. He doesn't say enough with you, Robert. He continues to be compassionate, continues to forgive and direct and guide, continues to be merciful and gracious. Verse 10, he had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Just as I just finished saying, if he wanted to or was going to deal with us after our sins, we would be helpless, hopeless, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But he is one who does forgive, one who sustains and keeps, one who loves us so much that even his son was willing to go to Calvary's cross for us. Then verse 11 and 12, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And then as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Stephen Charnock said this, when sin is pardoned, it is never charged again. The guilt of it can no more return than east from the west or west to east. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Then 13, 14, 15, and 16. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. God is a loving, caring Father. He knows us, and he remembers that we are but dust, but also we need to remember that he's the one that created us when he created Adam out of dust. Yes, when we pass from the scene, we will, if it's not by the Lord coming to take us home, we will become dust. And then he says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Even when we were down east, and I've heard people say that, this summer has been so dry. Some are saying that the grass isn't going to grow, and yet the few days of rain that we've had, some of us will be out having to, get the lawnmower started up again. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When we think of grass, yes, grass, it grows. It's, it only lasts for a time. But the same with a flower. It only lasts for a time. But you notice that the flower can give its beauty to us. Joan has planted flowers called four clocks, and they don't come out until the afternoon. And so late in the afternoon into the evening, if you come home late at night and the backlight is on, you see that some of these flowers are still out. Yet in the early morning, you walk out and there are flowers there that are blossoming, and you can admire all that God has done. The flower of the field, and he's able to cause us to flourish. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. And then, of course, the wind passes over it, and it is gone. But then verse 17, there's a but there. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And you remember that in Luke chapter 1, verse 50, when Mary in verse 46 said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Then in verse 50 she quotes this from this psalm. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And also Exodus 20 verse 6. I'd like to read from perhaps the start of the chapter, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And then verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Jesus himself said that he was going to go and prepare a place for us. I've said this before, and again regarding our daughter, when she wanted to be at home. And so she was in her place, and our son-in-law, Joan, and I, and another friend were there. The doctor had just come, and he indicated that, you know, perhaps within a few hours, Donna would pass from this scene. And so he left. Joan and Cup went out to the other room, and her friend as well. I stayed there with Donna. And I said in John 14, I said, Donna, the Lord has prepared a place for you. He's waiting. And it seemed as though just within that instant, she passed into his presence. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'd like to close with reading Psalm 148. It talks about just praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, of people near him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 103, tremendous psalm, a psalm that we can read and go through, and we can bless or praise the Lord. O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. But help us in turn to praise and to bless you and to thank you for all that you have done. When we think of your love for us and your Son leaving the glories of heaven and coming to this earth, and we read and certainly meditate upon the things that he suffered and went through, what a tremendous, wonderful, glorious Savior we have. We are blessed to be able to serve him. So, Father, we would ask that you dismiss us with your blessing. We give you thanks once again for this day. We commit all to you, giving you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.